next December I'll remember every soldier who may die in vain. This December I'll remember
bye. we need more
love.
Time in my car, there are people with signs saying they are starved. I live in a city full of a laugh, but there are people with no place to sleep at night. I think of all the money that I waste, and I wonder where it's being placed. So many begging outside, risking their lives, they can't win this fight. I walk by, but it doesn't feel right. How can we come together to bring more light? I think this world needs more love. This world needs more love. We need more love.
good morning. This is Carte Blanche Breakfast, and you're listening to 91.5 FM, or WMFO Radio. I got Charlie here with me. We're going to warm you up with this song here, and then we have a lot to talk about because things are going on, and they're a little crazy, so we'll talk soon. That song was chose by yours truly, Charlie Bork, and he's back. Welcome back, Charlie.
Thank you. Thank you. I was on the IR for a couple weeks because it's really early, and I didn't wake up, and I'm sorry. I'm not really that sorry to you, Rune, but I'm sorry to everyone out there listening.
No, that's fair. That's understandable.
If anything, you deserve it.
Yeah, I'd say so. I had a lot of time to think. I woke up early, and you didn't show up, and I just thought, what did I do? What did I do this time?
Yeah, but I'm back, ready to roll. It's dark outside, kind of depressing. But there's something that we wanted to talk about right off the bat.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we're really excited about this in terms of what can you categorize this as? I'd say it's hitting the panic button.
Oh, yeah, Richard Panic.
If we want to make a new segment called Hitting the Panic Button, this guy starts it off hot. This guy's in our group for Wanderers in Space.
In astronomy class.
In astronomy class, which is the hardest classes, at Tufts.
The guy who runs it really just, you know.
He's a smart guy.
He hasn't had a clean pair of underwear in weeks, let's just say.
Yeah, he's just too busy studying. Yeah. He loves his space just a little bit too much, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But yeah, this guy jumped in our group last minute. We already had the poster done, and he then offered to write the whole 20-page essay, and we're off scotch-free somehow. I'm not sure how that might backfire on us in the future, if like karma is going to get us a little bit later, or
yeah, like it's like one of those things where you get a free hair, you get like a free bowl of soup with a haircut, but then you look in the mirror of that haircut and the guy used a pair of rusty scissors.
Yeah, and like half the bowl.
And the bowl. And so you got some clam chowder in your hair, and it just streaks, you know?
I don't totally understand where you come from, but I think that might be a New Hampshire thing.
No, I think it's a New England thing. New England has really good clam chowder.
And bad haircuts.
Yeah, really good clam chowder, bad haircuts. That's a good point. Thank you, Rune. That was very insightful.
Do you ever get your haircut around here? Like, near Tufts?
I've never got it done around. I got it done at Supercuts once, and the lady just wouldn't stop talking about how, like, greasy my hair was. And so I never went back. I was insulted. I asked for her supervisor's number. Turns out she was a supervisor. So I texted her how bad she was.
I feel like there's a lot of professions that in turn you have to just be a really good, you have to have the art of conversation down rather than your actual own profession. Like 90% of the haircuts given out to men, I feel like, are bad haircuts. Like I haven't met many men who walk away from haircuts saying, wow, like that looks great.
Yeah.
You know, so at that point when 90% of men, male haircuts are bad, you gotta be good at being in conversation.
Yeah, and like none of these people really are. I mean, I don't even know. I've never been to, I remember there was one time I went to a barbershop around my home in Portsmouth. They like teach, it's like one of those schools that was basically like the art of cutting hair. So you get like, you literally get a haircut for like $5 and it's from like these people who are gonna go off and do like
like training.
Yeah, they're training and they're like literally a month away from doing really like going to like really nice and expensive haircut place. So it's a great deal. So I was like, this is awesome, like this is gonna be the best. And I go in there and I get my thing, and like there's just, it ends up my barber, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, the haircutter person, she's like a girl my age, and she's like pretty cute. I'm like, heck yeah, like this is gonna be awesome. And so then I like try talking to her, and she doesn't say a word. She's just absolutely tunnel vision on my hair, and I'm just like, and then she says, then she's like, you're going bald back here, or not bald, she's like, you got an opening back here. And I'm like, oh, am I going bald? No, I got hit in the head and I was cut. And she like told me, she didn't even tell me I was cut. She just said I had an opening. I was like, what the? And so then her supervisor came over and told me that I had an opening too. And I didn't know what the hell was going on. Everyone in the whole thing was just looking at my head. Wait, what was I talking about?
We were talking about haircuts, and I think like the balance between the two is that you either have, we were saying you have to be really good at being in conversation. Like, if I walk away with a bad haircut, but I have a great conversation and somewhat feel sorry for the person like cutting my hair, I'm like, you know, I mean, you know, or you know, they're just a great person. I give them extra tip, even though like my haircut's bad. It's like a waiter or a server that you know that's trying really hard, but they just don't quite get it. And so if you're not on that end of the spectrum, I'd rather you just be a really quiet person. I get to close my eyes during the haircut the whole time, almost fall asleep until
you
have to tell me to like tilt my head this way or that way. And then, you know, we don't say a word to each other. It's just a mutual agreement of this is going to be a good haircut.
Yeah, I've got an idea where you just go into a haircut parlor. And I haven't decided how they're going to do it, whether that you're going to use laughing gas or someone's just going to punch you in the face. But like, you knock out, and then they tie a string to your back, the back of your head, so your like head's like straight up and down, so like it doesn't slump, so the guy doesn't cut your hair poorly and gets to see it correctly. And so like you go in, and basically in 2 seconds you got a haircut. It might have taken an hour, but for you it was 2 seconds. It's called 2 second haircuts.
I actually enjoy going into a haircut, and like I like even yesterday I went down to the trainer to get my knee worked on. And, you know, it was just nice having somebody, like, care for me for a little bit. You know, they put ice on, you know, they, like, grab my leg and, like, twist it and turn it in different ways. Sometimes it hurts, but...
Doesn't it hurt as much as not being with somebody.
Right, exactly. It's just nice having somebody there. And I think, you know, maybe in the market of giving a haircut, maybe you turn it into... I mean, that's... I mean, I was just about to say...
Maybe there's a haircut already, place and there's a... stand-up comedian doing a set in the middle.
Now I like that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. But the problem with having there be a stand-up comedian in the middle, if he's a good stand-up comedian, he's just going to rip everyone getting haircuts.
That is true. Then everyone walks out of there thinking, like, wow. Like, they thought it was funny, but in the back of their head, they're like, do I have a bad haircut?
They got to go next door
to the local hat shop and get like 32 beanies so they can cover up their hair until it grows all the way back.
But if we're true businessmen, we own that hat shop across the street too.
Oh yeah.
And we have a little upchart. You know, like if you have normal hats and they walk into this store, they're like, wow, this is just a crazy expensive hat. And
well, they
like,
buy it anything.
I don't have any other option.
Yeah, they're buying anything they get. And the thing is, for some reason, I don't know why, like barbers and like barbresses or what, like woman barbers.
What are they?
Barbries?
Nah, what's their word? I think stylists.
Stylists. Well, I don't know why they also get tipped. Like, why don't you just charge more money for the haircut? It doesn't make any sense to me. So what I'm going to do is whatever shop I open, I'm going to make some like stupid shop, like literally a market shop or like a bodega or something. I'm going to expect to get tipped. So every time I don't get tipped, there's going to be a button under my thing. It's going to lock the person in.
And they don't know why, and nobody can tell them. They just have to. You just kind of look like, I don't know, man. I don't know the door code.
Yeah, and everyone's going to know, too. Everyone's just going to look at them and shake their head.
Maybe that's what tipping is. It's like, tipping is a test of, like, what type of person you are.
It's a test of will.
I remember, what was it? When we went out to, when we went out for Thanksgiving dinner. And, you know, you feel bad because someone's working on Thanksgiving night.
Oh,
as,
yeah.
As a server.
We went to a local place in Davis Square.
I don't think we can say
it. Oh, no, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
It rhymes with... I'm not going to say it.
It's hard not to, like...
It's hard not to say it.
But it's a good establishment. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll still go back there 100%.
Good food, but the lady was out to lunch. She was... Rune had to ask her, like, 3 different times for his sandwich.
I think it was her way of saying, like, I need to shed a few pounds. Like, they were just hoping that I just got it, but no, that's a situation where it's like, it's Thanksgiving, you know, you feel bad for her, you know, she gives off the vibe of anytime she comes over to the table, she's like, acting like she's like really busy, which, I mean, that's the thing about a restaurant, is like, everyone can see how many tables you got, you know?
There's no Excel spreadsheet you can bury yourself in. The Excel spreadsheet are the tables, and you can see if they're open or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they were open.
Yeah, no, we saw her just kind of like hanging out, which is kind of it was a little bit of a bummer,
yeah.
Just because that was my Thanksgiving meal. I spent it in Hill Hall or Hillside Apartments with 5 of my buddies, and finally get up. My family's back in Michigan, and trying to tell them I'm happy and have a great Thanksgiving meal. Meanwhile, my meal didn't even come.
Your family's like, leave me alone. Like, we didn't come out there for a reason.
My family had a great time for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, my family likes to see me every couple of weeks so they can just think about what could have been, you know? So they're like, hey, at least we're not that guy.
No, I definitely saw. I was lucky enough to go to Charlie's house for on Wednesday night for Thanksgiving. And it was actually wild. They just put him up on what looked like somewhat of a cage and made fun of him for 2 hours. Luckily... they let me in on the fun, and I kind of got a little bit too into it, and it was a stressful car ride home. Lots of tension.
Me and Rune had to have a talk after that. Rune, on this radio show, did I ever tell the story about about Delray Beach and my stepsister?
No, you did not tell us. You know, yeah, I don't think you even told me. Well, someone told me. I know that something happened because your dad kept hinting, like, we're never going to talk about that ever again.
Okay.
But it seemed like you wanted to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, this summer, my dad's side of the family, he remarried, and they, like, love vacations and all that dumb stuff. So, they're like, oh, let's hang out together. Let's spend time together. Leave me alone. Am I right? They convinced my dad and like my little brother to go to Delray Beach, Florida with them. And so it's my dad's new wife, her 3 daughters, or her 3 children. And then there are 2, I don't even know how to put it. Like her previous marriage met her ex-husband's 2 daughters who were around my age. And they just like sticked with her because they really like her, and so for some reason they came with us. I don't know. It was never really truly explained to me, but that's not the point. But so we all met in Delray Beach, And Delray Beach is for it's a spring break place, but we went in the middle of summer, so it was empty and it was hot, like middle of Florida, it's hot in the summertime. And there's all these spring break like floozy like places all up and down the coastline, but like there's no one there. So there we would go out to dinner at night, then we'd go to see a live band. And I was getting pretty close with one of my the older stepsister who's I think older than me. And she's not blood related to me. I just want to get that out in the open clear. She's not blood related to me. And she the last night she was like, "Let's have a little fun. Like let's do more than just go see a live band. Let's go like to one of these like floozy places along the beach." And I was like,
"The one that have like kind of like they give, I feel like they have like neon shirts and graffiti hats that you can get your name on if you want. Like, yeah, that type of spring break place.
Yeah, they had a lobster trap like hanging from the ceiling, like kind of thing. Like a buoy.
You can't even walk in there.
Their bouncer's a buoy, you know, for Christ's sake. And
you were in a bad place. I can already tell.
Yeah, no, I wasn't in a great place. Actually, I was. It was a pretty good night to be. Oh, okay. I'm getting ahead of myself. So we go see this live band. And I'm having a great time, you know. I'm just having a bunch of Red Bull, just super caffeinated. You know how it is, just super caffeinated. And so I'm like, let's go. Like she's like this girl named Megan, my stepsister, was like, let's go to this like place. I think it was like called Rick's or something. And so we waited out my dad and my mom and or my my stepmom and my three. Children, and they all leave, and we go to this other place, and me and this other girl just talking, dancing, is like it's fun, and then she like, okay, we're not blood related. I have to say that again. She is my stepsister, I guess, but we're not blood related. So she comes in and like whispers in my knee, in my ear, and then she starts kissing on my neck.
No,
and I'm like, whoa, like there's a lot that goes through your head when something like that happens, and. I was thinking so fast, or not thinking enough, I don't know, and I was like, you know what? This is hilarious. Let's do it. And so then we pecked. And that was...
That was the history of Delray Beach?
Well, I think the girl told my stepmom, like, over text on the way back from... because we left the next day, and on the travel day... I think she told the stepmom because my dad was super weird to me like after a certain point. And he like doesn't let me see her again because my stepmom was like super upset for some reason. It's like, look, if you put me in a room with a handsome girl, we're either going to become business partners or lovers. That's it. Like, that's it.
What kind of business are we talking about?
I don't know. She's going to come up with the idea, and I'm going to take 51% because that's what I do.
You're a businessman. We just talked about this.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a business.
In general.
Man.
Period.
Yes. But no, yeah, no. So I kissed my stepsister, but not blood related.
I tell you what, when I did go to Charlie's house on that Wednesday night before Thanksgiving and family matters were in full swing, the stepsister was not there.
Thank God.
But no, oh, people would murmur the histories of Delray Beach, and I could tell something happened at Delray Beach. Really nice family, though. I can understand why Charlie felt he had the ability to just go free reign, and that's the dangerous thing. Is like when someone gives you an inch and you take a mile. You never apologize for it. You just got to keep going.
You expect them to apologize to you.
100%. It's like, why do you put me in this situation?
Rude. What's the most dangerous predator you think you could fight, and when?
And when?
Yeah, like dangerous, like animal out in the wild, like dangerous predator looking thing.
Wow, that's a wild question. But let me think. I mean, let's see here. Animals. I would have to pick one that's like. A lot of they're going extinct.
And you only can use like your hands.
Would I actually have to hurt this animal? or could I just like talk them? Like, my idea is there's not many very dangerous animals that you're going to be in a fight just because they're wild animals. Where we are very tame people. Like, you bump into somebody,
being
from the Midwest, you're just like, oh, sorry.
Okay.
So my idea would be that doesn't help at all. My idea would be you find an animal that's somewhat going extinct, and you say, hey, listen, buddy, like, if you actually lose this fight here, like, your whole family name's going down.
So you're going from the psychological standpoint.
You could somehow get through to animals, like, you just communicate, like, hey, man, you don't want to do this.
Dr. Doolittle.
You don't want to do this. Like, your whole bloodline is at stake here, Mr. Koala.
Koala. I could punch a koala in the face.
You wouldn't want to do that if you actually saw a koala face to face.
Well, I'm saying I wouldn't need to use my words. If it was me and a koala, and someone's like, that separating you from the rest of your life, I'd punch that koala in the face and he would go down top heavy.
Oh, that is an interesting kind of conversation to go into. Like, we've never been in situations that we've had to fight for our life. And you see it in movies where, like, wow, like, he's fighting for his life. Like, you have that fight or flight. I wonder if you actually have that, like, killer instinct within you, or sometimes, like, when I went skydiving 2 summers ago, instead of, like, being really nervous and, like, how could I save myself, or, like, if this plane goes down, like, I just let out everything. I was like, you know what? If my parachute doesn't go, this is it, and I'm okay with it. So it was like, instead of fight or flight, it was like, hey, man, it's been a good run.
Hell yeah,
okay,
brother.
Okay. So, I don't know. Humans might, some humans probably have that killer instinct, but, I don't know. I've only seen it in movies. I've never seen it for you firsthand. And that's, this is something I did want to talk about today. All the things that, like, we know are in the world, but I've never seen, and just made me realize how, small my world is. Like, if you could not know of anything you have not seen with your own eye, like, I wouldn't know about lions. I mean, maybe I've been to the zoo before, but
I've seen lions.
Yeah, like seeing lions, or like,
you mean like
other,
like,
nations, or
you, like, mean like in person? Like, if you're in a room and a lion is also in that room, like, not like on TV or anything.
Right. If you're only knowing the only things that you knew you saw firsthand, like, sight wise, how different would your world be? And also, how fake is, like, our world as we know it, in terms of, like, the been there, know that aspect of life, where I'm like, oh, like, I know what a lion looks like, but, like, I really don't. I know what a lion looks like on television, but, like, face to face, like, I don't. Or, like, oh, like, I have an idea of what Australia looks like, but I really don't, because I've never been there. So,
yeah,
this idea of, like, we know everything that is in the world, but I mean this is kind of just like a sad thing. I'm like, realizing that if I think I know all these things, then I have less of a need to want to go see these things, but then and when I die, like, the places that I've seen are only, like, pretty much right now in the United States, and the very few times I went to Mexico or whatever that have been in very kind of touristy spots.
And, how many people would die just, like, so they would just, like, go swimming off the coast of Australia because they've never seen a great white shark, and they just get eaten.
Right, they'd be like, oh, I want to go see this great white shark, but, like, they don't have the knowledge of, like, what these animals, like, really do.
Like, hey, what's that?
Like, wow, look at that. Oh, wow, he just ate my buddy.
Like, yeah, like, that would be.
I mean, yeah, so I guess.
You know what, I've been all in on this population control thing lately. I've been doing a lot of research on, like, plagues and stuff, and what the Earth does is when the humanity starts to threaten it, it like releases a plague. So, yeah. Like, it was like the bubonic plague, there's a couple others, swine flu and other stuff like that, bird flu,
mm-hmm.
And it just, like, kills up a swath of the population. So instead of that, I was thinking of anybody, you put, this is how I would do some population control. So I say you put people in a room,
mm-hmm.
And they're...
How big?
There's just two people in a room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're told to put there are two glasses of water. One guy gets one glass, and the other person gets another glass, and they put them right next to each other. But the on coasters, and they're clearly, one's red and one's green, so you know which cup of water is yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one guy who's running the test for us, he takes a sip of water very clearly out of the other guy's water.
Mm-hmm.
And if the other guy doesn't say anything, that guy's dead. You don't want these pushovers roaming the world. So instead of the earth doing it, we get the earth back, and then maybe it'll sprout a couple more trees.
Well, that's honestly an interesting concept, because now when are humans going to have to be the this is an awful concept in terms of huge warfare and stuff like that. No, I'm not going to go into it because I don't know enough about it, but we're so technologically advanced nowadays where, if there is a bubonic plague or swine flu, now we have all the instruments to kind of slow it down really quickly, and maybe that's why the earth is populating so much, and not are humans going to have to say we overdid it this time, and then decide. I don't know, there's a lot of wild things going on with earth and climate control, things like that, where they might have to take some people out.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Yeah,
I think
we have to sound just very uneducated right now talking about this subject, but that's
no,
okay.
This is the nuts and bolts of the matter. All these scientists are telling you that it's all going to work out. It's not going to work out. You're going to die. That's just a fact. It's whether you're going to die tomorrow or whether you're going to die next week. And those are the only two options. And so, I think the Earth will release the... I think the Earth... The germs and all that stuff evolves to the point where your body won't be able to see it. It's just like what happened when, talk about Thanksgiving, when Christopher Columbus came out with all those blankets and started coughing on Native Americans. I think because they were exposed to germs and stuff that they've never been exposed to before. I think there's going to be something that we've never been exposed to before, and it's going to kill off a great swath of the population. But I'm saying if that doesn't happen, and if we just want Earth to have our back and be like, yo, are bad. The nuclear bombs are bad. All that coal mining are bad. The fossil fuel stuff are bad. I say not only do we start recycling and, I mean, I think we could use straws, but that's another point. But I say everyone who still wears sandals with Velcro,
get them out of here.
They're dead. No, what we do is
I was going to say past a certain age,
get them while they're young.
People are living crazy long.
Those kids are crying on, those kids are having ice cream and they're not using a cone or a bowl. They're just eating it out of their hands.
And then they're wondering why their hands are cold.
And then they're shaking yours. You're like, man, I got a sticky hand now.
It does make sense, but I hate to say it. I might have been one of those kids.
Yeah, me too.
So that's okay. We would have been out of here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't discriminate against anybody.
Talking about population control, people are living crazy long lives nowadays, and
way too long.
I feel like it sounds awful, but after 60 years old, I feel like after that, wow, what a great run. I'm not gonna hurt myself or anything, but
you're gonna start pushing the limits.
People are inventing these crazy things. What if you invented, and bear with me, people laugh at Elon Musk, people laugh at me for different reasons, because I still don't know how to tie my shoes, and I often, just do things that don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
to people,
with all
I'm
these self
on about it, I don't have to explain to you what.
Yeah. Hey, look, you out there, shut up.
I'm okay with who I am, vice versa. I'm okay with who you are, but I don't appreciate people laughing at me and my ideas
and pointing.
Anyway, I'm not going to go down that road. But what my idea was, space exploration. We're in Wanderson in space class. I think our professor would really not like this idea, because we'd be putting a bunch of waste into the universe. But at 60 years old, be like, all right, listen, I've had a great life. I'm gonna head up into space, and it's be like this thing called.
You told me.
I really like this idea.
Okay.
You'd be like, all right, it's called the last adventure. And so your buddies, your family, obviously it'd be a lot of money, but you put in a little capsule, and you're like, all right, listen, I'm going out on a sick note. I'm gonna go up into space, and then they'll put whatever in my body, and I pass away. But then I'd get that spiritual, revolution up there where I'm literally leaving Earth. You know, like people say, like, oh, he left Earth. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
I'd get to see from outer space the place where I have all my memories are contained in that Earth, and I'm like looking back at it, thinking like, wow, like, you know, I left it all out there. You know, whatever I did in this life, you know, it's like I played a good hockey game. Like, hey, man, like, you know, you left it all on the Earth, and then you go hopefully peacefully. You know, at that point when you're alone in space, you can go anyway. You're going either way.
No one's gonna know.
But think of that. You know, everyone past 60 has to go up into space. Not a bad idea for population control, and it'd be a great experience for everybody. You know, that's something I want to experience before I die. Would you like to? Or
I think that's a good idea. Like that's a better idea. My whole thought, that's better than my idea. My idea was trickery. So you'd say everyone past 60, like we're working on something to like regenerate your old body. So we're gonna
you'd get a lot of people.
Put you in a comatose state, and we're gonna like save you. Until we like regenerate your old body, and so we're gonna tell all these people that, right? And then so they're gonna come into like it's gonna be called like it's gonna be called like fresh butts or something, like just something like, or like nice new pair of ankles, like something stupid.
Yeah, something that they really get them like, wow, like you know what, my ankles have been looking.
Yeah, like they're breaking down a bit.
Yeah.
And so they come in. And they were like, "Oh yeah, nice to meet you. Like, come on into our waiting room." And they'd go into like the where they think they would be like, you know, putting in a comatose state. And some guy would literally just, you know.
Well, actually, what if you could put them in like you say, you're like, "Hey, listen, you know, we know that you're like really achy. Like all these people have arthritis nowadays, and like they hurt so bad, you know." And they
it's like suck it up.
I really hope I don't get any of that. I see my my grandpa. He's a trooper. He has like a bad shoulder,
bad
and, like,
wing.
Him putting on a jacket looks like the most painful thing in the world. And sometimes you help him, and you're so scared that you're hurting it more.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go on about that either, but you know. I love the guy.
Shout out, Grandpa.
Shout out, Grandpa. I hope you're doing well. I'll call you later today. But, you know, even being tricked to be in a comatose state, like, you could probably tell these 60-year-olds, like, hey, listen, like, keep your body where it is now so you don't have to come to us 20 years later and we say, like, we got the technology to, like, keep you alive. So, like, preserve your body now and maybe in, like, 50 years or so, you'll wake up on Mars. And, like, we'll be able to bring back your body. But, like, hey, listen, you've got, like, limited time to, like, somewhat be okay with your body. Like, you want to wait a few more years and you need a knee replacement, hip replacement. Like, we can't go backwards. Like, time travel is not possible, but you can save yourself right now. I feel like that would be, they'd panic. They'd be like, all right, now, please.
It's like when say they go to dinner and there's, like, two-for-one lemon meringue pie. They're getting four of them.
And they're taking everyone else with them too.
But the problem with this is they're gonna want the grandchildren to come with us.
That's what I was thinking. Like if you do this where you're like, hey, listen, like you have limited time to do that, you would get so many. I feel like college age kids that don't have
good.
They don't have. I mean, yeah, we have parents and grandparents, but we don't have kids or like grandkids that we feel really responsible for. Where we'd be like, oh, like I can't leave my kid. You know, like we'd be like. Every college kid, probably high school, college kid, probably not high school, but like every, I feel like college, like mid-20s would be like, I'm in my best form right now. I'm not responsible for anybody. Nobody has a girlfriend or boyfriend these days.
Some have both.
Yeah, that's true. Some people just have it all. And if you don't have it all, you just don't have it at all.
Yeah. And if you do have it all, call in and I'm gonna
gonna get your number, your address.
Yeah, we got some questions.
Just come home late.
Yeah, yeah.
Shoot, what were we talking about? I was also gonna add on to it. It was a fun point. We were talking about population control.
You were talking about your grandpa.
Oh, my grandpa.
Oh, you're talking about college kids and high school people
wanting to save their and save like the age that they're at. If you could, I mean, we don't know. Oh, I know what I wanted to dive into a little bit in terms of, you know, like extending life or being in different realities. When we were doing, so Charlie and I did this virtual reality game thing at, I don't know what the
Headspace,
name
I think.
Was it? No, Headspace is the app for my
Oh, yeah. Virtual Headspace.
Virtual Headspace. Some, yeah.
No, something I'll look it up. Keep going.
Mindtruck. It was Mindtruck.
Yeah.
And so you put on these goggles. It's a virtual reality. It's the first time that I did any virtual reality. Was it for you?
Yeah, it was cool. It was insane.
It really, it's wild. You know, you, and my thought is like Elon Musk talks about these different forms of reality, and he thinks that we're living in a simulation. And when you think about it, if
so, does Alex Jones?
Who's Alex Jones?
Haven't you seen the guy who just yells?
No.
He thinks that they're turning the frogs gay.
Oh yeah, I've heard about that guy.
That guy rocks. Most entertaining political commentator.
And so, if we were living a simulation where there's a bunch of different realities, you know, we live pretty good lives. We, you know, we can't complain much. You know, everything that is, I mean, for myself, and this is a very like one person type explanation, because this is my simulation. This is my idea of like what the best possible world would be like. In my mind, I would say I'm very middle class, to where being too wealthy doesn't worry me, being too poor doesn't worry me. Which, like, I don't say that in by any means. I'm not too sure what's politically correct, but I hope that's okay to say.
Just politically correct people who are out there recording people waiting for them to screw up. Why don't you go jump in a hole?
So like this is probably my best idea of like a simulation that would be perfect. So in some reality, I got to put on goggles and choose what reality I wanted to live in,
like virtual, like modern day virtual reality.
Yes, I probably chose this life, but for this to be my best reality, I probably chose it for me to believe that this was reality. And so that idea of Elon Musk thinking that we live in a simulation, like we could be living in multiple different realities, and somewhere I might have been some kid with an awful life, or some person in an awful life, or even some 80-year-old man that's about to pass away, and I finally found these goggles or the technology, and I was like, you know what? If I could be anyone in the whole world, this is who I'd be, and my mind somewhere in a different, distant reality has let me live here. And, you know, and everyone else is just living in it. And with that being said, Charlie, I'm going to turn it over to you, because I want to ask you if this was your reality, where would you be? Who would you be? And what would you do?
Wait, if this was my reality,
or say if this was your, someone right now handed you like, hey man, you know, I hear it's like a genie. It's like a genie.
So let's just say I'm in a virtual reality right now, and I take off the goggles, and if I want the reality where I take off the goggles, I could be anyone I want in any situation.
Yeah. Then you take off your little goggles and you're like, wow, that was fun, but like, this is actually who I am, but somewhere, you know, you're tricking yourself again. But what does that life look like?
I want to say like an easy one, like a life where I never met my ex-girlfriend, just my same thing, you know, or a life where my mom's in the picture, you know,
like, okay.
But I'm not gonna go for the low hanging fruit out there. I would say I would want to live a life where, I'd want to live one of those lives where you, for whatever reason, the dad and mom gone. They're gone.
Oh, so many great, great stories start that way.
Yes.
The great movies, you know, Harry Potter. I've never seen Harry Potter, but I know that his parents are gone.
Yeah, they dropped him on his head and left.
That was my biography.
Oh yeah, so you and Harry Potter,
and then Rich and Beth Kirby. They came back. They're great parents.
Yeah, that's what they want you to think. They're higher.
This is their reality.
They're government shills. So I want my mom and dad, have some literally a hilarious death, like hilarious. Like say like they're driving down the interstate and they drove over a banana peel, and they like stopped to see what was wrong. And then like a wild chimpanzee came and like ate their faces, like something crazy.
Like a story where when you I'm expecting if you don't have parents, ultimately in my mind I'm like click like wow, this kid goes to like five different schools. He's the new kid all the time somehow.
Yeah.
And, like, you have to explain like your first day of school how your parents passed away and everyone starts laughing. You know, you're like, ah, here we go again.
And deep down you're like on the surface you're like, oh that's like I'm upset, but deep down you're like, yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I have an older brother who is like acts as my dad, but he's got issues. Like he is in no position because he's got his own demons.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so but he's got a girlfriend, but his girlfriend has a thing for me, and him, and so I also play. Let's say I play football. I basically just want to be Tim Riggins. Okay, I want to be a very handsome looking guy,
long cool hair,
cool hair. Have an older brother who and there's always a girl that we just for whatever reason likes both of us but neither of us at the same time, and we and like on the surface like, man, this guy's got problems, this guy's like, oh man, like we gotta stay away from this guy, like he'll throw nickels at you behind the subway, but no, in reality he's throwing nickels at homeless people, you know, so I got a golden heart.
That's beautiful, man. going off of beautiful, we have to say our public service announcement, and this one is near and dear to my heart. This one's Big Brothers Big Sisters. I recently got paired up with a little, his name's Davis, but he's actually teaching me a lot. He taught me the alphabet the other day. That was very nice of him. So I just want to say, be a Big Brothers Big Sisters volunteer and rediscover the kid in you. Being a big means simply sharing a little time with one great kid, just like someone once did for you. It's a touchy subject.
Dude, that's actually crazy. We're talking about Big Brothers right now.
Yeah, they match your hobbies, geography, interests, personality with those of a little brother and little sister, ages 7 to 14. You can enjoy free tickets to pro sports, play ball, talk, or just hang out. You decide. You also get to be a kid again for a few hours a month. It's not true. It's actually really it is an amazing program, but it teaches you a lot of like responsibility of how to deal with kids, and it's actually a very nervous situation to be in. Like this kid, he's not worried about what he says to me. You know, he gets to go be himself. I am terribly nervous about what to like. I want this kid to like me.
You want him to think you're cool.
Oh yeah. I dressed up as a skateboard guy because I thought like that was in.
Hello, fellow kids.
I tried to do a pop shove it and I fell down, and it turns out he just likes good humor.
And then he told you to shove it.
He did. He was like, "You're my big," and I said, "If you want me to be," and he walked away.
He told you to stuff your sorrys in a sack, mister.
It is also another thing that's crazy is some of these elementary schools are just crazy nice.
Dude, let me tell you something. When I was in elementary school, I almost got kicked out. Dude, there was one, I had a really bad day one day. A really bad day. I remember I showed up. Oh, it doesn't even matter. I was there. You know, I was there every day. It was school. My mom made me go.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so, well, there was recess. You remember recess? It was like when you'd have class.
It was the time you found out if you were good at sports or not, and if you weren't, kids let you know by not picking you.
Elementary school recess was the first time you'd figure out if you were cool or you weren't.
That's it. Honestly, if I could go back to elementary school recess, I wouldn't. I'd go inside recess every time where everyone had to do like board games.
Yeah. Nap time.
And everyone had to be nice in inside recess because the teacher was right there.
Yeah, there was
playground. Playground, you know where to go to like somewhat like get off.
Oh, you could hide behind the local jungle gym and shove Jimmy in the mulch. Tell him to eat wood chips,
Jimmy.
Buddy.
We're sorry about that. You know, we know you're doing way better in life than us right now.
Oh, I'm Jimmy. In this situation,
I had a bully. I used to try to hang out with older kids all the time, and they didn't like that. You know, the very territorial.
Yeah, when you're younger, 1 year is 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like wow.
Represents like an age. Yeah.
And they're in fifth grade. But I was actually picked. This still haunts me. When we're like lining up for you know hockey, someone has to pick teams. I'm like, I don't want to be last because this kid, they're picking teams like back and forth. Like they're two best friends in fifth grade. I think I was like in third or fourth grade at the time. And got down to who they wanted. They got their teams, and they started picking, like, I'll take this rock. I'll take this stick. And I'm standing there with, like, my three buddies that were in the same grade as me that are like, thinking, like, you think they picked me after that really cool rock right there?
You think they picked me after they picked the common cold?
Yeah. They waited until we were like, I think we were wasting our recess. I don't think they're actually going to play this game. We walked away, and they immediately started playing. They were like, dang it. Gosh, those guys are good.
Yeah, those guys all grew up to be psych majors.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I mean, they know how to deal with
it. They figure that out at a really young age of, like, if you don't want someone around, you don't directly say to their... Actually, that's the thing. That I wish they would have said, like, hey, man.
Scram.
Get out of here.
We've got to start saying scram more.
Scram. If someone looks at you during just walking around campus.
Yeah.
Scram.
I tell that to every old person I see.
Freaks them out.
Yeah, they're like, oh my god, like, you look so handsome, like, thank you for visiting my like old folks home, and I just tell them to scram, and I take all the Topeka,
Topeka, Kansas.
Topeka?
Is
no, what is that?
What are you talking about?
I don't even know. You there was elementary school. What was I saying? Something about elementary school. Oh, recess. Yeah, okay, elementary school recess. I almost got kicked out. It was like, it was a recess where Rune just told me 2 minutes. And you know what? For that reason, I'm not saying anything else. I don't like being on a timeline. I quit.
Well, that makes sense. I didn't mean to do that to you, but I definitely did. So we just have to remind you that you're listening to Carte Blanche Breakfast, and this is 91.5 FM WMFM.
This is my last episode.
It is not, Charlie.
Don't you ever put your finger in
it. Charlie, I'm going to put on a song that I know you don't like, but it's going to turn on anyway, and we'll do a transition. We'll see you next Wednesday. Charlie will be here.
If you hear
any
rustling in the background, that's me beating Rune with one of the chairs in here.
Here we go. This was not the song that I thought.